Hello, everybody. This is Marshall Poe. I'm the founder and editor of the New Books Network. I've published several academic books, and one of the things I found frustrating is my inability to get them picked up in the press. There really is no PR service specifically oriented toward academic books. Recently, however, I had the opportunity to work with a PR firm in New York, RLM, on a book that I recently published. And I have to say, they did a remarkable job at a very low price. And this got me thinking. I wonder if the New Books Network and RLM could provide a service that would promote academic books. So the folks at RLM and I put our heads together and we came up with a package. It is specifically targeted toward people like you, people who write academic books. So if you're interested, you should go to the NBN website and click publish. Publicize your book, and there you'll find some information about the services that the NBN and RLM are offering. What we really want to do is provide you with value for money. As far as we know, no such service exists. This is the first of its kind, and we really hope it is successful, and we hope that it helps you get the word out about your academic book.
Welcome to the New Books Network.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the New Book Network podcast. I'm Deidre Tyler, host. Today we'll be talking with Maliha Hassan, the author of War and Me, a memoir. How are you doing today?
I'm doing good. Thank you so much for having me in your show.
Thank you. I wonder if you would begin the interview by saying a few words about yourself and how you became interested in this project.
Thank you. My name is Maliha Hassan. I'm a teacher, poet, writer, playwright, and some of you may know me as a Maya Angelou of Iraq. Thank you, Oprah Winfrey. And I am honored to have been nominated for Pulitzer Prize for my book, for my poetry book, or A Breakfast for Butterflies, and for Pushcart for my story, which when I was born in Iraq in 1967, and I was a vivacious child who loved my family and loved the school. I remember in my first day in middle school in Najaf in Iraq, the Iraqi government announced they would close schools for 10 days until certain victory over war with Iran was announced. But the war did not end in 10 days. Unfortunately, it lasted for 8 years, and all my friends were either killed in the war or went missing in it. From this moment, I have dreamed to write about this experience, and it's like, while poetry comes easily to me, I have long dreamed about writing a detailed memoir about the horrors of war that I personally experienced, as well as the terrible hardship my family and friend endured.
Now, you talk about the death of your grandfather at the beginning of the book.
Yes.
How did that impact you and your family?
Because my grandfather was, he's like the main person in our family, and he was to take care of everything. That's why when he passed away, it affected us in very bad way. Affect the family and affect me personally, because I was very spoiled from him. And when we did read the book, you see how he was like I think he's not a human being, but more than he's angel, because he took care of everything. He's like a god. He's care about his family. He makes sure everyone in good health and good shape and good emotion. That's why when he passed away, I almost find out my kingdom is destroyed. It's no more there.
You know, you talk about your sister and the kerosene. I thought that was an interesting story. Would you like to share some of that?
My middle sister, she's like, I don't know what's going on with her, but when she was a kid, every time my mom, she hide the, because you know, in Iraq, we use kerosene in when we cook. And every time my mom hidden something in very different places, she will find them and she will drink something. And we will take her to the hospital to give her some medicine to survive. And this is a factor until now. She and it, when she grow up, she became sick with different health stomach issues.
The fever in the family.
Yes.
Tell us about that.
We are very close family. We never disappoint our mom or the father. Even there is a terrible, harsh situation, but we're still very close to each other. And when someone have any issue, that we will take care of it together. And as you know, I was looking for my brother in Butterfield. I was looking for my father in Butterfield because my mom, she was sick, and I was hoping if I can give her something just to survive, give her any good news to survive.
Now, you took care of your mother while she was sick.
Not just me. All our sisters, we did that. We did that. And because I am the oldest girl, I did that more than other sisters.
Yes.
Yeah.
Tell us about when you were at school and you wore black.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. What happened?
First of all, it is right now. I think about it as a funny story. But when I was a kid, it was a terrible thing for me because we are three. Okay, in fact, every guy or every man, his name Hassan, he will name his daughter Faliha and his son Falah. Okay, now every girl with me in school has my name, like Faliha Hassan. Faliha, well, her father will be Hassan. In my classroom, there's three girls with the same name, the first and the middle name. Faliha Hassan, Faliha Hassan, Faliha Hassan. But when she was very big girl, big heavy girl, and she don't know nothing. She's beautiful, but she don't know nothing. She's not clever enough to be a student, even student. Another one, she was very, very skinny. And she was also her mind not to have a degree. She's like, yes, she's okay, she's studying, but she's not with a degree and curious about education. For me, I was tiny black girl. It's like there's nothing. It's just, but the teacher, and I was, you know, I love school. I love school. My grade is so good. But the teacher, they never, like when they call us, they said Faliha Hassan. They don't give us number like Faliha Hassan 1, 2, 3. No. One time I find out, they call me the black Faliha Hassan. And that's affect me. That's make me. Like for maybe almost all month, crying in my room and be upset with every teacher in the school. But then I find out it's like this sadness, it doesn't take me to another place. I'm going to prove myself. Because I'm not going to spend all my lifetime in this school. And thank God, now every Fariha from my classroom. They have they establish families, and they are I don't know what they're doing right now, but I have my master's degree. I almost finished my PhD degree. I became a teacher. I spent 24 years teaching. I did write 25 books between poetry and prose, but those people, no one heard about them. All these people, they heard about from the Black Fariha Hassan.
So do you have a lot of color discrimination?
Yes, in my country, yes.
Tell us about that.
Yeah, especially with me. I was a member, when I did publish my book, Because I Am a Girl, in 1991, and I became a member in the poets, the Union of Poets and Writers in Iraq. People, they don't like that. They didn't like a girl. She's coming from unknown family, and she want to be in the same level of them. And then that's why so many times people start to talk about my color. There is a professor. He's a philosophy guy. He has a PhD degree in philosophy. He published an article about me. The title of the article is Fariha Hassan, the Black Face and Black Soul. This is the title of the article. And he did publish that in the newspaper. When I did read it, first of all, I get mad and mixed feeling, but then I said, there's no reason for him to do that but jealousy. And from there, I continue writing. I continue writing, attend a poetry festival, and I became famous in Iraq. And also in middle age. It's like people, they don't appreciate the black color. And still until now, if there is a guy, he's a black, he can't marry white women unless he is very rich. I mean, very, very, very rich. Okay, and also there is no white guy they can marry a black girl, even she has education, she has a good job, she's a teacher or doctor. They don't do that. It's still until these days. Yeah.
Thank you. Now, you described the sirens going off and the fear in the middle of the night because you're hearing these sirens going off.
Yes. It's like from 1980 until 1988, I'm talking about 8 years, we was hearing the siren almost every day, every night. And this became something we used to. And as a kid, my mom, my grandma, they was praying for us to protect us. That's it. We don't have a shelter to go living there because we was living in an apartment it's not in a floor, in a second floor apartment. There is no shelter. Even if we go to hide in under the stair, there's so many families there, and we can stay with them. It's like everyone who needs his space. And that's why the sharing start to be a familiar to our ears.
Now, you talked about the health of family members during the war. How did the war impact family members' health?
It's like, I think we, during the war, we get very close to each other. Very, very close to each other emotionally. And we did help each other by staying, surviving, staying alive. This is my sentences. During the war, we was busy to survive. That we did. We was like eating a little bit just to keep a meal to another day. We don't drink too much because we don't like to. I mean, when I'm saying drink, I'm talking about tea and water. That's it. Because we don't, we need to save something to the next day if we still alive. And when my brother went to the war zone, everyone he was prayed to him to come back safely, and that's what we did also with my father. And we took care of my mom when she was sick. We took care of my grandma when she got sick also. It is not easy, but we still, you know, I think war make us became very strong, very close to each other.
Now, your grandmother had some wishes. She didn't want you to turn the cartoons off or wear black or have a wake.
Because she don't like me to be sad. I love cartoon. I still love cartoons, like some of them, especially there's a cartoon like coming from different places. It's not from Iraq or Middle East. And we loved it, like a Sinbad. It's to say, on different, like Sasuke, something like that. And we still, I was obsessed with these cartoons things because it's sometime in my imagination, I became one character of these cartoon story, and she don't like me to have to wear black when she was dying, this is her wish.
Now you talk about this celebration, the 40 days after death. Tell us about that.
Before the days of the death, it's not celebration, but. We have a tradition.
Okay.
Tradition, yeah. I think all the Islamic Muslim people, they have the same tradition. When someone dying, they have people. They have like his. It's not almost, but someone from his family. He sit with him or she sit with him. And read a prayer for her. It's long prayer. And also, some of them, if he has a hibra, we call a hibra, that it's a piece of fabric, they write this prayer with the special ink onto this hibra, and they worried him. After he died, like after they clean him and die, they put this hibra with him and pray them with him. That's in his mind or in our tradition, that can protect him from the hell. This is what we think. And I mean, this is what we believe in Islam.
Thank you for sharing that. Now, you talk about a love story and the watch. Tell us about this watch and the love story.
This is my true love story. When I was a teenage, there's a guy. I think he's my relative, but it's from far away. And we get interesting to each other. We didn't talk too much, but he was sending me some beautiful letters like, every day. Almost when he was away from the war, he would write something and hide it or send it like with someone. I don't know. But then one time I received a watch with his woman. This woman, she's belonged to him, and he sent me this watch. But unfortunately, I lost the watch in a salon, a beauty salon, beauty shop. But I don't know if that coincident. One time I was walking here in what they call it, flea market. And I see the same watch, someone tried to sell it. And I bought this watch. I kept it in my closet right now. But this guy, we didn't speak too much. He gave me a cassette for with song, with like romantic song, and this watch. But he died with the war. He killed by the war.
Yes. Now, you became the first teacher of the entire tribe, and you had to teach at this rural school for 2 years and then move to the city. Tell us about that experience.
I was super happy because I achieved my father's dream when I became a teacher. But then they sent me to the suburb. I was a city girl, and they sent me to suburban. They have a rules for that. We can't talk to the men there. Even they are teachers, but we like, they ask us to avoid mixing between men, like male teacher and female teacher. Everyone has, we have two different rooms, separate rooms. And also, the man control these school because he's the principal. But then after that, there is a you know, they put me in different school with this woman, which the principal. But she was treat us as we are her slave. She will give us extra things to do for her, just for her benefit, not for the school benefit. And I was curious to do that. I like this boy, her will, and I'm, you know, I said, no, I'm not going to do anything. And she became against me. She became my my enemy. And then when I say enemy, she wrote so many bad things about me. And she sent me to the, almost to the court. And you said you read the book and you see how she treats us. But then after that, I said, I'm done with that. I'm not going to do any teaching. I'm going to finish my bachelor's degree. But I was having two horrible years in my life with this lady. I don't know if she's still alive, but I heard her daughter. She was in my life. She was a teacher, but now she became the principal of the same school.
Eat stress-free this spring with Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals. Every fresh, never-frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from a weekly menu of 35 options, including popular options like Calorie Smart, Keto, Protein Plus, or Vegan and Veggie. Get chef-prepared meals on the table in 2 minutes with Factor's ready-to-eat meals, so you can go back to doing what you love this spring. Looking for gourmet meals? Try meals that feature premium ingredients like filet mignon, shrimp, truffle butter, broccolini, and
and asparagus. And this is the part I really like. No fuss, no mess meals. Factor meals eliminate the hassle of prepping, cooking, or cleaning. You simply heat and savor the good stuff. Factor is the solution for fast, premium meals without the need for cooking. Head to factormeals.com/NBN50 and use code NBN50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's code NBN50 at factormeals.com/NBN50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active.
You told us about the story of the student. You asked the young girl what was her relationship to the student. Tell us about that. That was so confusing.
Yeah, it's like when I was a teacher, I taught the fifth grade. The fifth grade, it's not like here. They are almost mad. They have mustache. They are bigger than me. It's like almost my age. And this student, he's look weird. And every time he's coming to school, he's like look tired. His eye is different. He's like, I don't know if he's coming up from his bed. He didn't clean well. He's very lazy. He's, I don't know. And he needs help with the studying because he has, every time he's taken the very low grade and in an exam. And we have a meeting, like parent and teacher meeting. And I find there's, I met this woman or this girl, she's a beautiful girl with the makeup, with something. And she came and she asked me, how's, she mentioned his name, doing. I said, oh no, he needs help. He's like, I don't know why you just kept him in the school. He need to spend so many times. He want to take, like, he need to take care of himself. There's, you need to, are you his sister? Because now I want you to speak to his mom or his father to make sure he's good for his school or he will leave. And or maybe he can achieve it. He will have very bad grade this year. And she said, no teacher, because they call me teacher. No teacher. I'm his wife. Now I get confused. What should I say? I said, oh okay. I mean, I can help him with so many things. I will spend extra time with him after school. He need just to come to me and on a break, and I'm going to take care of him. Don't worry about that. I try to change the subject because I don't want him to be mad of her if she told him that. She's like, because in his mind, he's the man, and he will take care of everything. And this girl now told him he's not doing anything, just sleeping in his school. And that's something unusual. And that's why I tried to change the subject. But I don't know what's going on with him. But the same time, I mean, the next day he came. He cleaned up a little bit. But I helped him a lot with his studying and homework. Yeah.
Now, you gave us a story about your friend going to get a check at the school and your friend's marriage. That's another confusing story. Tell us about that.
Yeah. I mean, those are two best friends, and one of this girl, she loved someone in the school, and he was a colleague, his colleague, or her colleague in the school, and she has a friend. I mean, her best friend. She didn't know this woman betrayed her or hide some news about her. And then when she come to have her salary check, she find out her best friend married her beloved. This is very sad story for me. And because if you are best friend, you need to talk or told your friend about your feeling and not to make her have a dream about your man. This is my opinion.
So you got into the university.
Yes.
Tell us about that experience.
After I after I left my my school in suburban, I submit my work to the University of Kufa to be a student there. But also because I am a member in the Iraqi Union of Writer, all these famous writer and poets, I was a professor also in the college, in the University of Kufa, especially in Arabic language. And I became famous before I come to the college. Before I came to this university, I was very famous. And some teacher, they start to talk about me. Oh, Faria Hassan, she will come here, and Faria Hassan, she will do that. Faria Hassan, she did publish her book. There is an article about Faria Hassan. That's made another student jealous of her. And one time I was on my break, and there is beautiful a girl. Oh my God, I remember her face, her eyes, and her hair, because she don't have any scarf. I mean, hijab, we call it hijab or scarf. And she came to me and she said, you are Fariha Hassan? I said, yes. She said, I hate you. And she walked away from me. I stand there for minutes doing nothing. But then I realize she hates me not because she's compared to her beauty or her richness. She was a rich girl, and she came from very rich family. You can tell from her dress. But because those people, the professors, they was talk very high about me, and that's make her feel jealous. And she never forget me, because even when I became a teacher, and I taught the middle school before I teach the high school, her sister, she was a student, one of my students. And one time during the parents teacher meeting, and she came and she said, oh my God, now you are a teacher of my sister. Oh, I hate that. And she just left. But I didn't have any bad relationship with her sister, and because she was my student. But I think when people start talking too much about a person, that's also made another people jealous.
Now, when your book was published, tell us about that experience of how everybody was so happy and you became famous.
The first book, my first book, Because I Am a Girl, it's like I published that in 1991. And I was, in this time, I was engaged in this time. And as a tradition, the groom gave the man, he will give the bride some gold, I mean real gold. And she will save this gold for something urgent, like buy a house, buy a car, or spend that with health situation because we don't have a health care in Iraq. In my situation, my urgent was to publish my book. And I took this call to the guy. I sold it and I gave it to publisher, and he published my book because I am a girl. I remember he did a book sign for me. I went there. There's no women. There's hundreds of men came. All them, poet, writer, you know, curious about these girls. She's coming from different different land to put herself with them. And then I remember one guy, he was famous, he a poet. He took this my book and he held it in his hand and he said, "This book, shame on poetry, shame on Najaf." And he was, you know, yelling with his deep voice. But then, I get mad. But 2 months later, I received phone call from the publisher and said, "Hi, Filiha, you know what? I sold 5,000 copies from your book, and now you can come and have your money back." He gave me my money. I went to the same guy. I sold my gold to him. I bought this gold, not the same gold, but it's like similar to when I sold, and I saved it. But no one know about that until I published my memoir book.
Now you got married.
Yes.
Tell us about that.
I get arranged marriage. It's not, I didn't choose any guy to marry because I was busy trying to have a degree. It's like in my imagination, I'm going to have my master degree, my bachelor, then my master, then my PhD degree. Maybe I became a professor in University of Kufa, and I didn't dream to have a husband, family, because we are a big family. I have enough kids in my life because my sibling was my kids. I take care of them every day, and I get tired of doing that. But in good way, not in a bad way. And also I was take care of my mom, my grandmom when she was sick. It's enough for me. I didn't, you know, think to get married. But that's why my old sisters, they married before me. Even they are like younger than me. But people start talking, why she don't marry, why there is something, there is some issue with her. There is a, and I was worried about my, you know, I just want them to stop talking about me in bad way. I know I don't have any issues, but no one believe you just focus on your degree and your education. That's why when they said you need to choose one of them, from the family, and they didn't give me any chance to choose anyone. I get married. I get married to one I didn't know even his name. Believe me, the first time I saw him when he came with the engagement ring, because he has 10 brothers, but I didn't know when they told me about his name. I said, who's the guy you told me about him? He said, they told me about his name and his mom. But then after that, the mom, she was awful. My mother-in-law, she was, rest in peace, she's something else. But, and she didn't like, because she, all her She gave birth to 10 men, I mean 10 boys and one girl. And this one girl, they don't welcome her also. And because the first pregnancy for me, she was a girl, that's why they don't, and the second one, that's why they don't welcome me in her, like in them house. And she did so many horrible things just to get rid of me.
Now, when did you decide to get out of that situation, the marriage?
Because it's like there is, like everyone has his strength in one time, and his because it's I lived 13 years with this guy. He never changed. He's became more aggressive, more I don't think he's like me one time or in love with me. He just get married because the society, because his family, because his mom, and he never take care of me, and I get tired of take care of everything. I was, even when in his life, I was the mom and the father. I took care of everything, the kids, rent, and one time I said, no, that's enough. I'm going to leave. But he didn't, like, this is not easy to, in my family. That's not, no one can leave, or she can leave her husband because these situation. Everything they will said, oh, no, you can fix it. You can fix it. You are strong. You are a woman. You can fix it. But I can't. That's why when I filed for divorce, he tried to kill me. He tried to burn me with the gasoline. And but I left. I took my kids and I left to Turkey.
Now, after people read your memoir, what do you want people to have? What's the message you want people to receive after they read your book?
I think I hope from all, like, I hope every reader will find what they like. For example, those who loved adventure will find a characters who went to the battlefield looking for their brothers and their father. Those who are curious to learn about Iraqi families during the wartime, will see how the Iraqi families suffered from the disease, starvation. And those who are enjoy learning about other culture will discover the rich costume and tradition of the Iraqi society and how the society deals with living and death. But the important thing in this book, the reader will see how the war and injustice blockade affect innocent people, whether they are soldiers, women, or just kids.
Well, I've taken up enough of your time. Can you tell us the next project you'll be working on?
I'm working right now with two books. One is poetry books. Also, it has so many memoir, but it's poetry. Another one, it's a novel. And it's like it's based on true events. And I hope both the projects will see the light very soon, and someone interesting to publish them. And and also I have a plan to write real story of from the, because I was, you know, contact those family, they're still alive in Iraq, and happened there in Blackade, and I will call this book The Hunger Book.
Well, we will be looking forward to reading all of those books, and I would like to thank you for being on the podcast. Again, we'll be talking to the author of War and Me, a memoir, Fahi Hassan.
Thank you so much, and I am thrilled right now because you have me in your show, and I wish you all the best with all your projects.
Thank you so much.